At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket, theticketfm.com, also CarrickerChronicles.com, The Ticket on YouTube, Carriker Chronicles on YouTube. We got a loaded show. I know you're shocked. But before we do that, I just want you, we're going to play that clip here, Jake. It's all about perspective, ladies and gentlemen.
Today from my doctor, he said I was a beast.
No, he said you were obese.
Oh, okay. That was rude.
Play it again, Jake.
Got the results today from my doctor. He said I was a beast.
No, he said you were obese.
Oh, okay. That was rude.
It's all about perspective, ladies and gentlemen. All right. As we feed into a glorious weekend here in the great state of Nebraska, the great city of Lincoln, we're going to bring on right off the top a man that covered me when I was in D.C., much like John Keim yesterday, Grant Paulson. He can't hear me yet, can he? He's like the hottest guy on air out there in D.C. I want to make sure he can't hear me so he doesn't get a big head. He's like one of the biggest sports fans I've ever met in my life. Just couldn't continue his journey, you know, competitively, athletically, physically. But got into covering Major League Baseball, the NFL, and the Commanders specifically. And he does a phenomenal job. He is growing as quickly and as fastly. If you look on social media, look everywhere as anybody out in D.C. is one of my favorite guys that was out there. I didn't have the kindest thoughts towards the media when I was a player. Now, you get misquoted. You get things taken out of context. Things of that nature. And to be clear, there's a lot of good people in the media. But Grant was one of the first guys to help me turn around my view of people who cover sports. Okay. And for me, I was like, man, any job you do, there's going to be difficult people. People try to take advantage of things. That's not unique to any specific job. But I'm like, I'm starting to see these individuals as people who just love sports. And they wanted to do sports as their job. They couldn't do it on the field of competition. So they started to cover teams and they do a really great job. And that's what helped turn how I viewed some folks in the media was meeting guys like Grant Paulson. We're going to bring him on here in a minute. Okay, we're going to go ahead and call Grant. Also, there are some portal linemen that are available that were not available as of about 48 hours ago. Notre Dame has lost four offensive linemen to the transfer portal, which was a little bit surprising to me because of the culture that's been built at Notre Dame because everybody loves Marcus frickin' Freeman. And Notre Dame's going to be back next year as a top five team. Well, that's what we projected. That's what we thought. We'll see what happens now. They lost their starting guard, starting center, four of their offensive linemen. This is a team that was third in the entire country behind Army, who once won a game this year without throwing a single pass. The only college football team in history to ever win a game in college football without throwing a pass. Okay, led the nation in most rushing yards. Number two was Boise. They had some guy named Ashton Gentry running the ball, and then it was Notre Dame. So they're physical up front. Now, I will say this. Ohio State kind of limited their ability to run the ball in the national title game. Ohio State did that to a lot of people. Okay, if you watch the Texas game, if you watch some of these other games. Outside of Michigan, they really did it to everybody. Oregon beat them over the top with passes when they won the first game, not the second game. Couldn't do Jack Diddley squat the second game in the Rose Bowl. But Notre Dame had and I've said this before, two of the top best running backs in the entire country, both going to be back. Riley Leonard. Ran the ball nine freaking times in the opening 18-play drive of the national championship game. Notre Dame was physical up front. I want to be more physical up front. So all I'm getting at, All right. Is there new potential options? And there will be more in the spring. There will be more throughout the offseason. New potential options to bring in through the transfer portal here for the University of Nebraska. We'll chat about that a little bit. And then it's ironic because I just talked about how, you know, do we have Grant on the phone? Okay. We'll bring Grant on in a second. How Grant was one of the guys that helped me shape a more positive view of folks in the media. And then it's interesting. I was actually sent an article. It was on the front of MSN, I guess. They took something from one of my chronicles and they actually kind of skewed it the wrong way. This hasn't happened in a long time, but we'll chat about that at the end. I don't think it was anything too serious. And the mic fight is back. Jake, we were doing so well. I tried to go back to my original mic, which, hold on. Yeah, hold on. So I used to use the mic to the left. I got tired of fighting with it. I went to the mic to the right. I use my hands so much. The mic to my right is constantly in the way of my hands. Okay. Can you hear me? Does this work?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, I talk loud enough. It'll work. All right, so the mic fight is back. I tried to go back to the mic to my left. I might have to do the one to the right. Maybe I'll just switch seats next time. I guess we'll see. But let's bring on Commanders Insider, NFL Insider, on the Major League Baseball Network, one of my favorite guys that covers sports out in D.C., part of the Grant and Danny Show on 106.7 The Fan out there in D.C., Mr. Grant Paulson. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, Grant. Good. How's it going?
Dude, it's good. I spoke with John Keim yesterday. I'm chatting with you today. I haven't spoken to either one of you guys in like a decade, so I appreciate you guys not forgetting who the heck I am and being willing to come on the show. But
reunion time in D.C., brother. That's what it is.
Dude, I was there during Albert Hainsworth, Roberts, a couple of years. Dude, it was not a boring time. I tell you, I got stories about Mr. Hainsworth. I sat next to him in meetings. He had about 15 phones to try to hide what he was doing, but we'll get to that topic in another day. All right, but man, talk to me. We're going to talk Bills Chiefs. We're going to talk Commanders Lions. And then eventually we're going to talk more baseball on this show, more basketball. You are a Major League Baseball insider. My son is going bonkers with all the money that the Dodgers are spending, the money that Juan Soto just got from the Mets, $765 million. But let's start off the top. Commanders, Lions. You look at the combined records of all the NFL road teams this postseason that are not named the Commanders. They're 0-8. The Commanders are 2-0. Why have they been able to have such success on the road when no other team in the NFL has been able to win an NFL road postseason game this year?
Well, they've been good all year on the road, Adam. I mean, they're 7-3 if you count the regular season on the road. I think a lot of it has to do with their no-huddle operation. Now, I talked to Austin Eckler about this week. Their running back, who's been great in these playoffs, and basically says they've got answers for noise. You know, they don't huddle. They don't need a ton of verbal communication. They're at the line of scrimmage doing some check with me stuff. And Daniels is often telling them what they're doing with signals and things. So I think their tempo, the fact that they don't need to huddle, that they get to the line of scrimmage quickly, I think those are all factors.
All right, I'm going to open up a little bit of can here. This was not on the docket of questions that I had prepared. But going into RG3, Robert's second season, all right?
Right.
Him and Shanahan were butting heads like crazy. He had the whole knee injury. Was he going to come back, you know, try to be ready for game one, which he did play? Should they run the read option, et cetera, et cetera? But the biggest point of contention, because I was there that offseason while he was rehabbing his knee, trying to rehab mine, and we would chat about that. He wanted to go no huddle the next year. And he really wanted to do it because that's what they did at Baylor. Worked really, really well for him. Shanahan said no. And that was a big point of contention between him and Shanahan. You're probably aware of this at this point. Should they have gone no huddle the way Robert wanted to do it all those years ago?
Well, I mean, just to an extent, sure. I mean, you got to do what makes your quarterback comfortable. And I think mixing those types of things in is necessary in the modern era of the NFL. I got to say, though, I wouldn't have made that many changes offensively. They were the number one offense in yards per play in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
They were the number one passing offense in yards per play. Griffin didn't really turn the ball over. They were dynamic and prolific. Nobody ran the ball better than Washington. So I wouldn't have been trying to go back to the well or change major elements of their offense, if I'm being honest. And what they were doing was working. So I understand any kind of frustration of wanting to make major sweeping changes.
All right, let's come back to modern day football. The Eagles, the Commanders, the Eagles are about a 6-point favorite as we sit here right now. And I hearken back to the last time they played. The Eagles, I believe, were up 27-7. Washington comes back to win at the end, 36-33. But where I'm going with this, Jaden Daniels had 5 touchdown passes that day. I believe he was also sacked 5 times. Two of the wide receivers, two of his leading receivers that day, okay, had a combined zero touchdown receptions on the season before that day. So my question is, because you come here, McLaren had four catches for 87 yards and a touchdown and a divisional playoff win over the Detroit Lions. All right. Grant says he can't hear me. Can you hear me, Grant?
Now I can.
Okay. Well, here. No, that's okay. It was a bunch of info. You probably already know most of everything I was saying, but here's my question, because there's not a whole lot of weapons on this Commanders team outside of Zach Ertz, Terry McLaurin that are proven. How has Jaden Daniels been able to break through? And again, Zach's a good player. Terry's a good player. Really good player, obviously. And there are other guys out there who can make plays, but he's kind of carried this offense as a rookie. How's he been able to do that? Because he doesn't have the same weapons as what the Eagles have at running back and their two wide receivers with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley. I mean, they're all over the place. How's he been able to carry this offense so far?
Yeah, you're totally right, Adam. I mean, it's not high-end impact Pro Bowl talent everywhere, right? Like in some of these organizations. The answer to me is, first off, scheme. Cliff Kingsbury's been tremendous at designing this offense to get these guys open, whether it's Olamide Zaccheaus, who had just 10 catches with the Eagles, who they're playing this weekend. 1 year ago, and he had a two-touchdown game where he had almost double-digit catches in a game this season against Philly. Whether it's Deami Brown, who never caught five balls in a single game for 4 years in the NFL until this postseason, who's done that in back-to-back weeks and is really flourishing. They're getting guys open. They're designing the offense well. They're getting the ball out of Daniel's hands. They try to make everything easy, right? It's a lot of quick game. It's short and intermediate stuff. And then once or twice a half a game, he will hit a home run. He'll go down the field. He's very accurate. He's got the touch, and he can hit the big play, which, you know, in this league is so demoralizing defensively. And they've been really good at those in this postseason run over these few games. But I think the answer to how have they done it with kind of lesser talent at the skill position is it's a ball-controlled offense where they run a lot of plays, and they're not necessarily – an elite offense in terms of, you know, picking up chunks frequently, but they are about staying on the field. And so they're looking for 3.5, 4, 5 yards at a time. And that's kind of how they call plays and operate.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on Hero.co for more information.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
When you think of greatest rookie quarterbacks in NFL history, greatest rookie seasons, I should say, I think of Dan Marino, Cam Newton, Roethlisberger, Robert Griffin III, 2012, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson emerged on the scene, Caleb Williams this year. I know the Bears were up and down, but he had a pretty decent season. Where would you rank Jane Daniels on that list of best, and this season's not over, but just so far up to this point, best rookie NFL quarterback seasons you've ever seen?
Well, I think if he plays well in a win this weekend, he'll be at the top of the list as far as I'm concerned. Remember, there's never been a rookie quarterback starting a Super Bowl. There's never been a rookie quarterback who has won an NFC championship game. There have been 5 that have played in conference championship games, right? Mm-hmm. But nobody's ever actually won it and gotten all the way to a Super Bowl. And this is not like the previous examples either, Adam. Like, let's be honest. When Mark Sanchez, AFC championship game with the Jets, or Joe Flacco, or any of these other guys that played for a conference title, they're essentially being dragged there by great defenses and ball control offenses that are run first. This is the Jaden Daniels show, where he's not only heavily involved in the passing game, which is prolific, but he's also their leading rusher. I mean, he's their best football player. So it's not a caretaker or someone who's kind of the product of a really good environment and situation and kind of just a beneficiary who happens to get to play in the game. They're in this game because of him. So it is unlike anything we've ever seen in that regard. To be clear, do I think there have been better rookie seasons historically? When you look at Jim Brown or some of the great, you know, running back seasons ever decades and decades ago, I think so, probably, yeah, in terms of guys that won MVP awards or competed for the MVP. But in terms of modern era football, with the complications at the quarterback position, how difficult and hard it is to play that spot, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this.
All right, one last Commanders question, and then I want to chat Bills and the Chiefs for just a minute. But my old boss, all right, I always liked Dan Snyder. The guy wanted to win. The more I got to know him, the more I was like, man, just let people do their jobs. Maybe that would help, and we'd get more dubs on the field. But he really wanted to win so bad. But Josh Harris, all right, who acquired the franchise from Daniel Snyder in 2023 for $6.05 billion, just think about that, is now the owner. During his 2 seasons there, and this season is still ongoing, season number 2, the Commanders have 2 playoff wins, which actually matches the same amount that Dan Snyder had during his 24 years of owning the Commanders, of 2 playoff wins. My question for you, and I have nothing but kind things to say about Dan Snyder because he was always good to me, but my question for you, and I think it's a fair question, if Dan Snyder's the owner, do you still think the Commanders are where they're at right now, or do you think maybe a change in ownership allowed them to move in a direction that allowed them to move forward in a positive way?
I'm 100% confident that this would not have been possible in the Dan Snyder regime. I was here for the entire 25 seasons, you know, 24 years of it, and respectfully to you, right, because I think there were players certainly that were treated pretty well. I mean, he was a diehard football fan who loved the team. So obviously you're going to treat players, especially players like yourself, who he spent good money on and had good seasons for him, pretty well. But he didn't treat anybody else all that well. Their employees had it, you know, it was a terrible culture of fear of being fired and looking over your shoulder. You know, I would see him for decades, you know, and you're supposed to look down and not say hello. And if you say hello, he's not going to say hello back. Just the way they treated people was horrible for so long, at the highest levels. You know, some of the worst experiences I've ever had as an adult in terms of being spoken to and how people talked to me and treated me were in that building by Snyder's higher-ups. Why are they talking to people like that? Why do they treat people like that? Probably because, A, they're allowed to, and that's the culture there, but B, that's how they're spoken to from their superiors, right? So, no, it was a horribly run organization, and you know, how you treat people just from the jump is kind of how the culture gets set. But on top of that, he never once in nearly 30 years running the team had the correct structure and allowed it to work. Meaning, right now, for the first time in my lifetime, since 1999 when they were last having a chance to get to an NFC championship game legitimately before he took over and summarily made changes. They had a general manager that they hired and empowered and allowed to run the team, who's an actual football person, and Adam Peters, who then hired a coach who then picked the quarterback. And so with the new ownership, the new GM, the new head coach, the new quarterback, all on the same page, they've never had that before. They've never had a GM running the show without the owner telling them what he wanted. And so this is the first time they've ever done it, and not coincidentally, they're already knocking on the door of a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's not dissimilar to a lot of the stories that I've heard. The one thing as players were absolutely aware of was there was favorites. Like, nobody was ever allowed to go inside of his right. house, which, you know, that was perfectly fine with me. And then you hear, you know, Robert and his wife were having Thanksgiving dinner over at his house on Thanksgiving Day one particular year, and we're like, huh, and, you know, and you hear of certain players being in the draft room on draft day, and you're like, that's interesting. So things like that are never good. All right, let's chat about the Bills, the Patriots, and I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to take the Bills. I just think it's the Chiefs, not the Patriots, the Bills and the Chiefs. The Chiefs are so good in one-score games. All right, 11-0 this year. They obviously, big game, Patrick Mahomes, like Josh Allen's 4-4 against him, but 0-3 in the playoffs. Like, they know how to get it done. I think at some point, that funny-shaped ball that bounces all over the place, it's going to bounce in the direction of somebody else, and I just feel like this is the Bills' year. They're the only team to actually beat them when they had their starters on the field in the regular season. This past year was the Bills. All right, the Broncos beat the Chiefs week 18. They weren't starting anybody. So for me, I'm going to take the Bills in this game. But what are your thoughts on the game, Grant, and who do you have winning? And I don't know if you can pick the Commanders and Eagles, but who do you have winning in that one if you can pick that game?
Yeah, sure. I mean, first off, for the AFC Championship game, I totally agree with everything you said, and I get your pick. But I have picked against the Chiefs in the playoffs for the final time until they lose. I'm just not going to look like a fool again.
Yep.
I mean, it's devoid of kind of context and analysis, but they're inevitable. They just have a way to win these football games, and being at home is an immense advantage. I don't really do the conspiracy theory with the referees thing, but I will say that the crew that specifically the umpire that is in charge of this particular game has a higher than average rate of calling penalties, and the Chiefs have not lost, I don't think, in any of his six games. And so, like, all those things are factors for me in looking at this. But I just think Mahomes will make the big play. I have great faith in him. I think the Bills have to be nearly perfect, not turn the ball over, which they've done a dozen times this year, is the most in modern era football history, which is cool. But they have to. They don't have the luxury of one mistake that kind of changes the game. I also think the Chiefs defense is just playing really, really well and can get pressure from the interior with Chris Jones. So I'm going to roll with Kansas City in a tight game. And then I do think the Eagles beat Washington, sadly. Look, it's a toss-up, and I got to be honest. The Eagles are the better team, but the Commanders are on the magical carpet ride. Everything's kind of going their way, and it just feels like they're so confident. I can promise you they think they're going there to win and get to the Super Bowl. So I think it's going to come down to probably a field goal here or there, and I give the advantage, even in a down season, to Jake Elliott over Zane Gonzalez there. But it's going to be really tight, man, and I would be 0% surprised if Washington won, because, frankly, there are harder matchup with last week in Detroit, mm-hmm. in my opinion, than the place they've already played this year and a team they've already beaten this year.
Yeah, you're right. The Commanders are red hot. I'm going to take the Eagles, too, but I'm kind of like you. They're red hot. And they have the hottest quarterback in the league right now in Jaden Daniels. Okay. And let me throw these couple things out there. I don't know if this will change your mind with the Bills and Chiefs, but the Bills have allowed the fewest sacks of any team in the NFL this season. The Bills have also led the NFL in turnovers forced this year. And honestly, it's not even close. Now, on the flip side of that, Steve Spagnuolo, my former head coach for a very brief time at the Rams, all right, he may be the best defensive coordinator in the entire NFL, has 4 Super Bowl rings. Yeah. All right. Last year, I'm convinced they won that Super Bowl because of coaching with Andy Reid, probably a top 3 NFL head coach of all time, Lombardi, Belichick, Reid, maybe Landry's up there. So the coaching edge, I think, has to go to the Chiefs. But does anything else I said about the Bills maybe change your mind at all?
Well, no. I mean, the numbers are there. Like, I get it. And I've rolled with them against the Ravens, kind of against the grain. I think they're a better team than the Chiefs, frankly. I don't think, like, having the most talent or being better always means you win. And in any other context, if you take the Chiefs emblem off the helmet and you just put another team in with the same numbers to be crunched, basically, I'll roll with the Bills. But this is what the Chiefs do. Their entire year has kind of been a build up to this point where they've done nothing to get here yet, if we're being honest. In terms of, yes, they earned it in the regular season, but they got a bye in the first round. Then they beat the Texans, who weren't very good, in my opinion. Now they're in the AFC Championship game at home. So this is their first big test, really, of the postseason. But I think with their extra rest and with their experience, it's just hard to pick against them, rather.
You make a fair point. You look back at the Ravens and Chiefs game, the Ravens outgained the Ravens and the Bills game. I keep wanting to say Patriots, so that doesn't help. The Ravens and the Bills game, they outgained, the Ravens did, the Bills by 150 yards. All right, I got to ask you one baseball question that I'll let you get out of here. The Dodgers, I mean, my Lord, are they creating the next super team? Are the guys they've signed as pitchers, relievers, and starters, and the guys in the lineup? Just give the fans who may not be that familiar with the Dodgers, because we're going to talk more baseball as the spring rolls along here. But the fans out there, what the Dodgers have done, who they've brought in, what they've spent. Because to me, it's just like, oh, my God, they should win every World Series for the next, like, decade, not even blink an eye. But what are your thoughts, Grant?
Yeah, it's staggering, man. I mean, they're coming off of a title, and they've had the best offseason. And last year, as a team that was on the precipice of another title, they had the best offseason. You go get Shohei, who is the best player in the sport unequivocally. You didn't even have him at the strength of his powers last year because he's a two-way guy. It didn't get to pitch last season. He will pitch this year. And then you go win the World Series. And what's so fair, you know, unfair maybe is the word, I guess, is that he is only making a couple million bucks right now because they backloaded his $700 million contract so much with deferred money because financially they're able to, that he's not really counting against their payroll much at all at this juncture. And so they keep having money to spend. So they go out and they get Blake Snell, who's won a couple Cy Young Awards, and they go out. As a rotation, it's only getting healthier with Yoshi Yamamoto, who was banged up much of last year, going to be back in the rotation and healthy, and Tyler Glasnow coming back healthy this year. And then they add to that Roki Sasaki, who is the best available player on the market this year, another import from Japan, who's just an unbelievable talent, and I think he's going to be a number one starter for years to come and win Cy Young Awards. So just an indication of the rich getting richer. You know, I will say, for all of the hand-wringing in baseball about how lopsided and unfair everything is, it's not like the Dodgers win titles every year. You know, they won in the COVID year in 2020, which was the only time previously that they'd won since decades ago. And it was in a fluky kind of quirky season where fans weren't in the stands and all the games were played at a neutral site in the playoffs in Texas and San Diego or whatever that was. And this was the first time they've won since. And if you compare baseball to the other sports, there is actually more championship level parity. And even, you know, LCS level parity, maybe than some of the conference championship rounds in the other sports. So I think that's important to note. It's really, really hard in baseball just to spend the most, have the most talent, and still win because of the 162 games, 180 plus business days, the attrition rate of injuries, the 6-month marathon, you know, all of those things. So I don't necessarily know that you've got to make any sweeping changes per se, like everybody's asking for, but I certainly acknowledge that off seasons are a lot less fun, and it is maddening to see them constantly getting all the best players and everybody else ending up being the runner-up in these sweepstakes and the bridesmaid, so to speak.
Well, Grant, I appreciate you taking the time. It's been good to catch up. Be well, my friend.
Yeah, Adam, be good, brother. Good talking to you. It's been too long.
All right, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.